Good evening, everybody. I'm so happy to be here, to be able to share this testimony because of God's goodness and because of all of your prayers and for the many, many prayers that people have prayed. So I want to share very briefly what happened, a little history of what happened to me, and then I want to share a little bit about how God gave me this privilege and opportunity to experience a little bit, I call it touching the hem of eternity, just a small perspective of heaven, just a small picture from my perspective, what I saw and heard. So in December 2020, I had severe COVID and I was hospitalized. Then again in July of 2021, I had visceral bleeding where one of the veins in my body busted and I was hospitalized and it was very life-threatening. And on December 29th, 2021, again I had a more severe bleeding and lost lots of blood and was hospitalized. At that time, I really believed that that was the end of my life and that I was going to be with Jesus. And once I was in the hospital, they put me out, and so I was not aware of what was happening for several days. It was during this time that I believe that God allowed me to experience a little glimpse of heaven, and I call it touching the hem of eternity. What I believe that I saw was I was in this tube that was going so fast and bright lights, something like this, but even glaring bright lights on both sides of the tube. It was going very fast and I was sitting in that tube and I heard a voice calling out to me, "Come, come." But that voice was not in English. It was in my mother tongue, that's Malay, the Malay language. That voice said, "Mari." Mari means come, come. The wedding party is waiting for you. I knew in my spirit it was Jesus and I was going to be with him, and I could hear the wedding party, and it wasn't an English song. It was from my country, Malaysia. I hold an American passport, but Jesus knew I'm a true Malaysian by the roots. He knew me, and that wedding party was waiting for me. And there's a particular song that they would play, that, and they had a particular instrument only for weddings that they would play. It's called the kompang, that when you hit it, it's a celebrative, rejoicing time where the bridegroom waits for the bride, waiting for the bride. It's a time of great celebration, of great joy, of great anticipation and expectation to see how that looks like. And I was so excited. I cannot tell you what I felt even in English. I can't explain it. But that tube took me to that place where that wedding party was. And I ended up in a white, empty space, like a huge place. There was nothing. There was nothing in that place. all I could do was I could not see, but I could sense in my spirit, and I could feel things. I couldn't see, but I could feel the atmosphere. I could sense what was happening. The first thing I heard and that I could sense in my spirit was both my parents, my mom and dad. They were there. They were there. My father lost both his eyesight before I was born. He has never seen my siblings, me or my siblings. But I knew instantly that his eyes was restored. God gave him back his eyesight, both his eyesight. And I could hear him tenderly calling me Jenny Girl. That's my home pet name, like my nickname that they would call me at home, especially my father. And he said, Jenny Girl, Jenny Girl. And I was so moved in my heart. For so many years, I said, God, why didn't you heal him? And here, his eyes was restored fully to see me and me experiencing him. And then I heard a loud voice that said, I am God Almighty. The whole earth is in my hands. Do not fear. Look at me. Feel my greatness. Feel my power. See how small the enemy is. Fix your eyes on me. I'm going to repeat that again. I heard a loud voice that said, I am Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is in my hands. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Look at me. Feel my greatness. Feel my power. And see how small the enemy is. Then on the left side, yes, clap for Jesus. Clap for the Lord God Almighty. Praise you, praise you, praise you. On my left-hand side, I could sense, I remember I couldn't see, but I could sense thousands of angels all in order. Not chaotic, no confusion, submitted to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, receiving directions, assignments to go to the nations of the world to fulfill God's purpose. If the angels could submit to God and understood their role and their place, how much more us in the body of Christ, to understand our positions, what it means to be submitted to authority, what it means to be submitted to leadership. And there is no confusion. There is no confusion. There is that place of complete surrender. God uses human authority, even in the body, to see where our hearts are. I was so amazed at how amazing our God is and how much he is in control of the earth and not the enemy. Not the enemy. The enemy is so small. At the same time, all these things were things that didn't happen one after another. It happened all at the same time. I can't explain it. I felt this exploding joy, peace, pleasure, conquering victory over death. Conquering victory over death. Inspiration, beauty untold. No pain, no knee pain, no headache. Breathing easily. All sadness gone. Tears, no tears. No tears. Maybe tears of joy, but not tears of sadness, depression, gone. All things healed and restored to the original intent of God's heart. All around me was also, usually you'll find water on the ground, but there was water floating all around me that I could touch and feel. Many colors that I could play with. There was this playfulness. Then there's the seriousness of this majestic king. And then there's the angels worshiping and doing the bidding and the calling of this almighty God. And then there's the enemy that is so tiny, that's so small, but yet we give him room, we give him place, and make him bigger than what he is. I could experience all of this. And I did not want to leave this place. And another thing that the Lord clearly spoke, he said, don't get offended over small things. In the light of eternity, it means nothing. Let it go. Don't get offended over small things. In the light of eternity, it means nothing. When you turn and you look back, Jennifer, you'll think, what is that? That's nothing compared to the beauty of who God is. Let it go. Let it go. Let go your offense. I really struggle. I said, God, I don't want to leave this place. I want to be with you forever and ever. But I heard him say, it's not yet your time. In my heart, I'm like, Lord, three times I've encountered so close to death. Why would you take me? And let me experience such an amazing thing and bring me back here on earth. The next thing I knew, somebody was shaking me. Get up, sweetheart, get up. And somebody else, Jennifer, open your eyes. Jennifer, open your eyes. It was the nurse and it was Sam. When I opened my eyes, it was Sam, and I'm like in shock because I was thinking, it's Jesus. Where's Jesus? It's Sam with his glasses and his sweetheart, sweetie, in his sweet little way. Sweetie, get up. I close my eyes. I'm like, this is not real. I was in heaven with you, Jesus. Where are you? I tell you, God has a great sense of humor. So I'm alive today to share this testimony because of God's mercy and grace and all the prayers that were sent on my behalf. It took me really some time to make that adjustment from experiencing heaven and coming back here to earth. It really took me some time. I remember Pastor Tom telling me, Jennifer, you cannot just live in that space. You have things to do. And I remember clearly saying to him, I've done everything that I know that God has called me to do, and I don't know what my purpose is here on earth. Why am I here? I'm ready to go, Lord, tomorrow. And I remember Ted Gary calling or talking to Sam and then calling me up, and he had a dream a month before all of this had happened, and he said, Jennifer, I had this dream, and in that dream, you were on a hospital bed with tubes, like all these tubes, and you had one leg in the grave and one leg in heaven. And the Lord instructed me that you need to have both your feet on the earth. Your time, it's not yet your time. You cannot go yet. I'm like, Ted Gary, you are responsible. I could be feasting with my Jesus. Where is that Jennifer Dharam bat that I can beat Ted Gary down? And then I had a wonderful friend. I'm sure many of you know Marlene Sorensen. She came and visited me several times. And she asked me some key questions. Now that you are here, how does your heavenly experience look like on this earth? Think about that, Jennifer. So over the course of this past few weeks, I thought through some of that. The first thing is that we are loved no matter what, regardless of our background, regardless of our past, regardless of our dysfunctional family, regardless whether we are affluent, whether we pray in tongues, whether we have all the gifts functioning, doesn't matter. We are loved. Remember, he called me, not just by my name. He knew what would make me tick. He knew what my passion was. He knew my roots. He knew my destiny. He knew my name. He knew how precious I was to him. He made a connection, not just to my head, but to my heart, that made me rise. When he said, Jennifer, when he said, Mari, come, something inside of me arose. That's the lover of your soul. When he calls out your name, your heart starts beating. The creator and the lover of your soul, you are not forgotten. You are not just a number, a statistic in City Church or in the city. You are known to him by name. Every part and fiber of your being, he formed and made you and me. And he loves us no matter what. I learned that being loved alone is not enough. It's not enough. For me, it wasn't just enough. Just having the experience of intimacy alone is not enough. There are layers to intimacy. There are layers to that deeper heart-to-heart connection. It grows. It grows day by day, moment by moment. A few months ago, I cannot remember when, Pastor Joel shared and he spoke about our true identity in Christ. And on that page, so many things about who God says you and I are. And to hear that and to allow those words to soak in and allow those words to wash away the things that do not belong to us and allow those words to shape and to form us and to bring depth and purpose to our destiny, to have an intentional call towards what we were created for. We need that depth of experience. We need it. I needed it. I want to grow to not just know him more in intimacy, but I want to experience this God in his character, in his name. And I want to dig through the word of God to find out who he is. I don't want to just come forward and just receive a touch. I want that touch to go to my heart and from my heart to multiply, to ooze out his presence anchored in the word of God. Do you long for that kind of intimacy? Do we long for that kind of depth? This morning, Pastor spoke about romancing and delighting. It's that romancing and delighting that needs to go deeper. At our last meeting that we had, the River Rising meeting, can any of us remember the three main things that was spoken? Three main things. Number one, Pastor Joy spoke about resting in the Lord from Psalms 23. Number two, Pastor Greg spoke about going deeper. We cannot just have the breath of the experience, but going deeper into him through his word and knowing him. And number three, Pastor Joel, to relax and not strive to make something happen, but to rest and to relax. Those were key things. At every River Rising meeting, God begins to link from one thing to the other. With the rising of the river, the rising of the word, the depth of God's word becomes deeper. It becomes more real. It becomes a reality. It becomes flesh in us. It cannot just stay with an experience. It must be anchored with the word of God, because there are times that is coming where we will not have these things. We will not have the word of God. The word of God is us. We will become the living epistles. We will become the life-giving word to people who will have no purpose. Hide the word of God in your heart is God's challenge. That's his love, intimate relationship with me now. Secondly, fix your eyes on Jesus and not the enemy. It's so easy to go to a dark place. It's so easy. Fear is the enemy's whip to drive us to striving, anxiety, confusion, fear of being alone, fear of missing the boat, fear of the future, fear of sickness, fear of our children, our family. The enemy uses it as a whip and he drives us to that place, even the fear of death. God gave me such a revelation of how he has conquered death. And today I can say, by the grace of God, I don't have the fear of death. Tomorrow he can call me, and I can die in any shape or form. I don't have the fear of death. The enemy knows what buttons to press. There's a deep longing to be captivated and to be attracted to him, not just by experience, but also knowing his character through his word. That's what it says in Jeremiah 9:23-24. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me personally, practically, directly discerning and recognizing my character, that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. So often we hear that word, be still and know, I am God. Be still. Be still. It's only when we are still can we experience the Lord. It's only in that place of stillness the word of God becomes like fire in our hearts. It is not aimless. It is not without purpose. God is crafting. God is crafting a people that will know how to use the power of intimacy as a weapon to bring healing, to break down walls, to prophesy over nations, to bring victory in our lives. Usually we say weapons of warfare and we think of binding the strongholds and tearing the spirit down and that spirit and this spirit. But if we understand the power of that intimacy with the power of word of God put together with that intimacy, you are a missile in the hands of God. God is reshaping the way we think, the way we minister, the way we worship, the way we pray. Warfare will not burn you out when you function from a place of intimacy and using the word of God. Fear will have no power. You will go into places that no one else has been. God can entrust you with assignments far greater than you could ever imagine from this place of intimacy and knowing his word and his character. As Greg challenged us, let's take that intimacy, let it go deeper, deeper. Ask God what deeper looks like for you and me. For me, it's the word of God. For me, it's the character of God. When everything else fails, when everything else comes to an end, the character of God remains. The word of God remains. I sense in my heart, Pastor Tom, if that's okay, sense in my heart two things. A call to a deeper level of intimacy. I want to make that clear. a deeper level is not this generalized thing. It is a hungering and a thirst for the word of God. Like Esther deer would pant for the waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. A hungering for that word of God inside of us, together with that intimacy. And secondly, to break any kind of fear, especially the fear of death.